Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi guys, we're back at Bishop's to preview another exciting weekend of Six Nations Rugby, which is coming up. But we are honoured to welcome guest Jesse Creel, double World Cup winner. We're going to talk about his career so far, his involvement in SA Schools Rugby, to the Bulls and off to Japan, and how France was in that magical moment a couple of months ago. But my usual guests are back, Skalkberger, Jean de Villiers and myself. The box office is now open.
What's the Scaliano?
In the corner there.
No one puts Scala in the corner.
No one puts Scala in the corner.
Shucks, we get snacks this week.
Yay.
Bolt. Oh,
thank you, World Rugby.
We're leveling up here. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
We're leveling up
here. Yes, I'm going to sweat you under these
last. Yeah, me too, bro. You're complaining already?
Aircon, yeah.
You should be complaining because you're the only one that's overweight of the four of us.
Based on what?
Based on what? Just my eyesight?
You top heavy, boy.
No, no. Guys, I played golf yesterday.
You need balance in your gym program.
I played golf yesterday for the first time in how long?
Degrees. Yeah.
And then I did the Q&A with Mr. Player.
Yeah.
I was 88 years old.
Did he talk? Did he let you talk?
No.
Did he make you do sit-ups?
When I got... likely not. When I got off the bar stool, I couldn't walk.
Okay, listen, yes. Boys.
Okay.
Welcome back to the box office. Our guest for today... Skalkberger back from playing golf at the Die Daughter. Still thirsty, I see. Jesse Creel, welcome to the box office, current World Cup winner. And Jean de Villiers, who rocked up late today, but it's fine, Jean, we'll forgive you. First of all, let's start with our guest, guys. Tradition to start with the guest. Jesse, good to be at Bishop's. Any memories? Have you played against Bishop's, actually?
Thanks for having me, first of all. Yeah, it's really epic to be on your guys' show. I think we played against Bishop's at a tournament... when I was in grade 11 back, I think it was at Gray High School.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's the only result? Time I've ever played. No, I think we won. I think we won. I remember they were just, I think they've got a policy of where they run it from everywhere.
That makes the three of us unbeaten.
Running rugby, yeah.
Shimmy, did you weren't unbeaten against Bishop's, boy?
Never lost.
Never?
In standard 9 of matric. Under 16 was the difference.
That's all that counts.
And under 15. And I think under 14, I can't remember, but in the big derby games, they never lost one.
Nice.
We smashed them by 1 point. The 1 year. There's 2 points in it.
You smashed them by one.
And we beat Paul Jim in 1995. We smashed them 3-0 in the rain.
1995?
Yeah.
Born in 95.
That was obviously just down the road.
He was born in 94.
I was one.
There you go.
Exactly. So you'll have heard the stories in Marisburg about Ron Wash smashing Paul Jim.
Oh, yeah.
3-0 Paul
Jim. Heard them.
Yeah, big stories.
Yeah?
It's hot here today.
What's that?
It's hot here
today. It's always hot here today.
Yeah.
What happened to your hand?
You said it's always hot here today.
No, this was a...
What happened there? What really happened?
I don't know. It was involved teammate of mine, a big Fijian, his thumb got caught in his head and then, yeah, just dislocated and, yeah, played another 2 games with it and just had to get it fixed. So, yeah, nothing too serious.
And you showed me on your phone the big, well, I've had the similar yeah. one, same scar, but that big pin that they pull out, you had that removed yesterday, was it?
Yeah, so 4 weeks post-op yesterday, so I got the pin removed and yeah, feeling a lot better, on track to be back in about 8 weeks, so playing early April, so yeah, just enjoying the time off at the moment. And
tell us about your secret gym sessions. I heard at Marisburg that you had some sneaky gym sessions. You know, when the gym was shut, you'd sort of take the key and go do your own personal workouts at a young age.
Yeah, so the deputy headmaster's son was a good mate of mine, and he obviously got a key cut for us. And we just used to go in the evenings because obviously we had slots in the gym and you couldn't always get in. So yeah, we just, I suppose, found a solution and got a key cut, and we used to go there in the evenings with the lights off and just get some work done.
Quick one. Old Marisburg College boy, Butch James, apparently went to a kicking clinic with him in 2007.
Yeah, so him
obviously and... didn't work because I've never seen you kick football.
I've seen the grubber. And it came off at a very important time. So I suppose all the kicking clinics and everything paid off.
Chesley's try.
Yeah, Chesley's try. So, Butch and Percy Montgomery came to Marisburg College in 2007, I think, just after they won the World Cup. And we did a kicking clinic with them. And, I mean, back at the time, Butch was a very big hero of mine and someone that I looked up to a lot. He's become a really good mate of mine, which is awesome. I think that's a really cool thing about rugby. And I mean, last week for my 30th birthday, he was actually there and we had a few beers together. So it's just a cool, cycle and a cool story, you know. It's
great. You never played with Butch, though?
Unfortunately, never played with him. I would have loved to.
At Inside Centre at 12 and you're 30, you would have loved to.
Yeah, I would have liked that. I think, yeah.
Ahead of, you know, the other guys.
Yeah, I think it would have been interesting.
Where are you going with this?
No, I'm just asking.
I didn't know. He's talking about his Marisburg boys.
Initiation at Marisburg, what was it? What was it, quite harsh there? And it's a big rugby school.
Yeah, I think obviously the initiation, I suppose, was quite harsh, but it was something that I really...
Can you tell us what it is or not really? Was it a Marisburg? It's a college secret.
I think a bit of a secret, but I mean, we used to always do our initiation when we went to like a tournament. So I got initiated when I was at the Grey tournament. And it involves a few, I suppose, interesting things, a few lashes and a few things like that. But it was awesome because after that, you really feel like you're part of something, I suppose, bigger than yourself. And I think like a lot of people are negative about initiation. But I mean, I really think it's great because you become part of something that's bigger than yourself. I think you become part of a team and history, you know. So I think that's really cool.
Just a question for Jean. I mean, Skylar, you guys can come in here. Yep. So we had a big, obviously, Origin Week. South African schoolboys wearing our school jerseys, but it's a big thing. You know, you look at the messages on social media.
John's jersey was tighter than yours.
John's jersey was tighter around the arms.
Yours was tighter around the stomach.
It wasn't. Don't make things up.
No. Denial is not only a revenge.
Okay, exactly. What makes South African schoolboy rugby so special? Was it the same? I mean, you've traveled around the world, but there is something about it, the traditions or people always seem to remember.
I do think that the schools, the tradition of the schools, you know, your so-called rugby schools are strong. Mm. And those traditions keep the rugby strong. You know, the kind of interest that the old boys show in coming back and adding, you know, value to that environment, you know, sometimes providing funds to help upkeep, you know, whether it's facilities or whatever, that I think is a big part of it. And make no mistake, you know, and whether you agree with it or not, and I don't think I totally agree with it, but it's extremely professional environments currently.
Mm. Yeah,
it's a high performance environment.
It's a lot more serious.
These schools. Yeah. So, I think it's a big part of why the Springbok team is successful, is because of, you know, these. I mean, just the example of Jesse, him sneaking into the gym to be able to do more work. You know, you create a work ethic where. Working hard is a standard, you know, putting in the effort is it's a given, and nothing less will be accepted. And I think it starts at schoolboy level, so that when the guys get to the Springbok level, you know, it's kind of ingrained. And I think it's, you know, that element of it is really good, but there's a massive pressure element to that.
I think it's also the way our schools are structured. So if you're in the UK, you're probably not going to play rugby at your school. Yes, a little bit at your school, but your club, you move to your club at a younger age. So everything happens at school. You know, so, you know, you go from sex, you go to, you know, sex high, you're playing rugby every single week, you know, like we, Paul Jim, or I come from Ichuris, and you get there. In Paul, it's unique because you've got such two big schools in quite a small town. And for 1 week in the year, the town gets divided in two parts, and I think it's plays such a big role in the community, not only there, but I think in all the towns where there's a big institution like A Bishops or A Rondebosch, you know, like separate by a few kilometers here, but on Derby Day, you know, this part of the suburb sort of splits in two halves. So I think because of our structure and because of the tradition in these schools, you know, like Saxe is nearly turning 200 years old up top. Paul Jim's, what's it, 165? 170. And it's, you just form a part of history. And I guess the youngsters sort of understand that they're custodians of that jersey, that Paul Jim jersey during that week. And, you know, to add to the part of history. So, like, we all love go watching, love watching it. And also, you know, it's on television nowadays. So you sort of can stay up to date with the players and you follow it on, whether it's on your iPad or on SuperSport.
The thing you also got to realize is there's so many good people within the school structures. I mean, if I look back to when I was in school, I mean, our head coach, Ryan Strudwick, I mean, you guys must have played against Strudders.
Yeah.
I think he's at my class now, but I mean, he used to drive me out of his own willingness to KZN trials, to KwaZulu-Natal schoolboy trials. So he would let me, take me all the way down to Durban, would stay there at his place in Durban. He'd take me to trials, let me finish playing my trials, and then take me back to Maritzburg, you know. So I think there's a lot of good people involved in the schoolboy rugby setup. And I think, like John spoke about community, I think that's what maybe differentiates our schoolboy rugby to maybe anywhere else in the world. I think the people involved really want to see the boys go on and make a success, and they'll do anything in their powers to help the guys go on and do well. So I think I was very fortunate to have really good people surrounding me and that were willing to help to not obviously get anything in return, which is something that's really special.
Those people shape you, eh?
100%,
I can just see in your eyes, you know, the way you speak about Ryan.
Yeah.
Is there's kind of gratitude in what he did for you to be able to sit here today.
Yeah, and I mean, he's one of the people, you know. There's so many other people, but I mean, like, just, I mean, I still thank him to the day every time I see him, because it's, I think people like that, like John says, that kind of shape your future, you know, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to make the trials, you know. So it was, he'd pick us up from boarding school, take us to the trials, and it's just, I think people like that go very under the radar and don't really get the credit that they deserve at schoolboy level. And there's lots of them all around the country.
Yeah, I need to tell this story because it's an unbelievable story. Because sometimes it's not even, and I remember my coaches, Scully, you remember your coach, this coach at school as well. And they might not have been the best coaches, but at the time you think they're the most unbelievable because they believe in you, you know, and they, you know, they trust you, and you just think they're the best.
Guys, with envy of the world at the envy of the world at the moment, Pierre Dantin, who was the guest on one of our colleagues, Buster Show, was discussing the Springboks formula to glory. So let's have a quick look.
Actuellement, la meilleure équipe au monde, double championne du monde, c'est l'Afrique du Sud. Est-ce que toi, tu as eu un regard sur cette équipe durant la Coupe du Monde? Surtout qu'en plus, ils n'étaient pas très loin, ils étaient basés à Toulon. Est-ce que toi, tu as un... T'as vu des choses qui ont fait et qui ont laissé présager qu'ils allaient champions du monde? Alors, parce que c'était pas forcément les favoris.
Pas du tout, non. C'était pas les favoris, mais tu sens que cette équipe, de toute façon, a un moteur intérieur. C'est-à-dire, quand tu vois, quels que soient les films de leur vie interne, et ils sont nombreux, c'est d'abord construit sur l'histoire, les origines, le sens profond de ce qui fait l'engagement du joueur. Et ensuite, la fierté d'appartenance. Et ensuite, le sentiment fort d'être en mission pour un pays.
Ouais,
parce que les Springboks, ils réunissent. Tu as qu'à écouter Colizzi. Colizzi, tu as l'impression d'entendre un petit-fils de Mandela dans son approche. C'est-à-dire, je dois être là pour faire le bien. Tout le monde dit, c'est bon, il nous fait un côté démago parce qu'il a réussi. Mais pas du tout. Il est ce qu'il est. Tu as joué avec Justin Colby. Il est comme ça aussi. Une norme quand tu joues à un club et hop. Quand tu mets le maillot, au nom de tous les miens, quoi. C'est du Romain Gary.
C'est ça,
les Springboks. Alors, je t'ai pas dit que ça les avait fait gagner. Ce qui les a peut-être fait gagner aussi, c'est une science forte de ce qu'ils sont, de ce qu'ils ne sont pas, et de comment ils doivent s'adapter aux autres. Mais quand tu es tout ça, tu as beaucoup plus de chances de gagner. Quand tu l'es pas et que tu recherches ton identité collective, ton histoire personnelle, ton mythe fondateur, ben c'est un sacré bordel. Hein, parce qu'il faut coller des choses pour espérer que la mosaïque corresponde peu ou prou à ce qui est la vraie motivation intrinsèque.
That's very cool.
Very nice, eh? What do you think, boys?
I think it's brilliant. And I mean, I can remember, I think you were in the lift with, might have been both of you with
me. Where were now? France.
In Toulon.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Saldana. and that Argentine English reporter journalist.
Yeah.
And he said he just came back from a, and this is just credit to you guys as a squad, Jesse. And he said he just came back from a press conference, and I think it was Sia, and I don't know who else was there. And basically he said this about Sia, but the whole team as well. He said they're champions on the field and they're champions off the field. And that to me, you know, in all of that kind of summarizes it beautifully. Because I think what we have seen, and Sia's kind of the voice for the team, but Sia's story is unbelievable, but I almost want to say every single player in the team has got a similar story. And I think that's what drives the unbelievable success that you guys have had.
Jesse, just talking about stories, actually. Obviously, World Cup, massive for you. But before that, Lukan Yoam, I mean, was rated the best center in the world and you had to sort of sit behind him. How did you get that turnaround or even the motivation just to stick at it?
Yeah, so it
can be frustrating.
Yeah, it's an interesting one though, because I think a lot of people like to make it up as one and two and this and that. Yeah. But I think Luke and I share a really special relationship. We're really, really good mates on and off the field.
Yeah.
And I think that's the special thing in the squad, is where guys actually want the best for each other. And it's very rare in professional sport. I mean, you guys have played in a lot of teams, but like, I mean, I spoke about it the other day where during the World Cup, when he came back, I mean, Lukey was sending me personal messages on the opposition 13 that I was playing against. He was mimicking opposition outside centres in training, trying to be the best Gael Fiku he could be during the week, or trying to be the best opposition 13 that I was going to play against. So like, giving you pictures in training on what the opposition would present. So I think that and from that aspect, I think, and that's the thing that Rassie always speaks about, is having the right people, not necessarily the best people, because I mean, he said to us many times, there's better rugby players than you guys all around the world that could be in the team. But he always speaks about having the right people in the team. And I think that is a very important thing, because I mean, when you get to squad selection and things like that, obviously you're disappointed you're not playing, but you understand that you've got a role to play.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's so clear of their roles, whether you're in the team or whether you're not in the team, whether you are on the water, different things like that. So I think just understanding, putting your ego to a side and understanding what's the best for, like they were saying on that video about just understanding that there's something bigger than yourself and that you're playing for a country. And I know it sounds like a cliche. I mean, everyone plays for their country, but I think we've really got something special here. And we speak about it a lot as a team as well. I mean, Sia, Eben, I mean, all the leaders, guys like Dwayne, we constantly remind each other on the importance of wearing the Springbok jersey. So I think, that's quite powerful in itself.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're competitive and but you're trying to make your mates better.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't always the case certainly not when we started, Jean, in early 2000s. I think we worked hard at it over the time. I think with the bulk of our generation, we sort of got that attitude. We were like, listen, we're all here to make each other
change
better.
Change a lot.
You push each other hard. You know, if I'm playing better rugby than the next guy, for example, he's going to push himself harder to become better. Yeah. And that's how you create this squad with depth. And and it's so lekker to see. You know, like if you can add to your mate's success, you know, I think that's one of the biggest tricks in life.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being on a training pitch and there's someone sulking.
It just fucks the whole training up.
Exactly.
I mean, the other thing is also, I mean, when you go up there to get your World Cup or the gold medal, I mean, everyone gets a medal.
Yeah.
I mean, winning together is better than winning alone, you know? It's like, if you want to win alone, go play tennis or an individual sport, you know?
Golf. And so the pay structures are still the same as well.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think you guys put in place.
I think it's critically important for people to understand that whether you played 80 minutes of every single game in the World Cup or whether you played 2 minutes, you got paid the same.
Yeah.
Because the good old days on tour when they send half the squad home on before the game.
So
you didn't get the match.
Yeah, you didn't get
so
the match.
So all the guys were shoved away, so you'd be watching from home because you don't need the guys.
You're incentivized. Yeah. Obviously, you have this collective goal, but also knowing that, flip, you know, I've got a role to play within this team, and whether that is starting or whether it's being third choice, but providing those pictures that you speak about, you know, I'm going to be remunerated for it. Yeah. So I think it's...
This is a throwback, but we played a game in Invercargill against the South Pacific Islanders, yeah.
Tonga, Fiji and Samoa. Ooh,
yeah, Tonga, Fiji and Samoa.
That was in Australia, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Australia.
Yeah, Invercargill was in New Zealand.
Not Invercargill, it's...
It was Gisborne. Yeah, it was just outside. It was outside.
No, Invercargill is New Zealand.
Not Invercargill.
Old age is creeping.
It was in Terrigal.
No, it was Gisborne.
I'm going to go for Terrigal. Anyway,
just outside Sydney. Let's say in Australia.
In Terrigal against Pacific Islands, same week.
Yeah.
But remember, like, we decided to play in little white armbands.
Shucks, I remember that, yeah.
And we
went
to John Smith's room. So we had our jerseys, obviously, for the team photo. We went to John's room, and we all got the same little white armband around. And I remember we tried to hide it away from Jake White. So, like,
everyone had tracksuits on.
And I think the story goes that John Barney actually wrote Jake, you know, like a little handwritten letter saying, this is why we're doing it. We're doing it for future generations regarding, you know, how our payment structure is going to work forward for the Springboks. And I just remember they scoring a try in the first minute or whatever. And I just wanted to be in that box and think, what is Jake White going on about? Here's my team playing in white armbands.
That he doesn't know about.
No, basically performing a strike against SA Rugby.
I've scored my first test try that game.
And that was in Terrigal.
No.
Or we stayed in Terrigal.
Is it Gisborne?
I'm going to get it now.
I remember. A little chip kick and you scored down the left, John. On the wing.
It's a really bomber.
That
was scary.
Well, that was a good tour, though. We beat Australia in Perth.
Guildford.
Just lost in Christchurch.
Gosford.
Gosford.
Played in Terrigal, played in Gosford. I started at Invercargill. That's miles from there, guys. Yeah. Okay, we got to the bottom of it.
Invercargill, there'd never be a test match in Invercargill. That's where the Highlanders played Super Rugby, isn't it?
Yeah.
We played I got there.
We played
Terrigal
one game.
That's what I meant to say.
Thank goodness it was one game. I think Justin Marshall's from Invercargill, I think.
That's Jimmy Cowan. Definitely, because I remember we played a game there and it was his home game.
Yeah. Southland. That was the furthest I ever travelled for a Super Rugby game. We played, the Stormers played here at Newlands on the Saturday. The Sunday we started traveling.
Shaq was still coach then.
Cape Town, Joburg, Sydney, Auckland, Dunedin to Invercargill.
But then Wednesday.
No, to Invercargill by bus, We arrived the Tuesday morning, we play the Friday.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Then he flew back to Sydney. We played the Waratahs
the following week.
Yeah.
That was 2005.
How did we get to this?
Exactly, I don't know.
I started it.
Invercargill, that's right. Rush defense. You know, you're obviously at the heart of the rush defense. For a lot of people sort of that haven't been in that position, how difficult is it? I mean, we see England now sort of they're trying to adopt the same strategy as the Springboks. You've been there from the box from day one when Jacques came back with sort of that defensive style. How difficult is it, or how long does it take to adapt?
Yeah, I believe it's the only way to defend. I think obviously initially it's very hard because you are exposed when you haven't. It's like anything. When you do it for a long time, you get better. You get better at making decisions. But I do think these days players have just become so good. The skill sets and all of that. If you're not putting guys under pressure, I think you're going to get ripped up. I mean, it's not the back in the day where you could be soft and push guys to touchlines. So guys' skill sets weren't maybe that good. I think it was all right. But I think these days line speed is a must, and you need to be putting guys under pressure constantly. Guys need to be thinking when they're attacking, listen, have I got time? Or there's someone in my face, and force guys to make decisions, because otherwise you get ripped up. You see all the teams that are defending soft now, I don't think it's...
And John, you'll probably agree, 13 must be the hardest posse there.
It's by far the hardest.
Yeah.
And you know, not because you play there, but, you know, I was there a couple of times as well. And I think...
They moved you back to 12.
Yeah, they put them back on the wing.
Yeah.
That's only because you were a captain and you had to be closer to the forwards.
You had to be closer.
Once more, man.
I played you need to talk to the forwards.
I played a game once with them at Fly-Off.
But you were mostly at Fly when you
played. No, I don't know. Not in the beginning of my career, but by the end of it.
Just marshalling the team around.
And the centers play like flag.
But
Jesse mentioned it earlier when he was speaking about Lekanya having to provide those pictures in training so that, you know, that conditions you to make better decisions on the field. And I think that's the key to it. And that's why it takes so long to be able to adapt to this new style of defending, because your hard drive is programmed in a certain way that these are the pictures that I've been seeing for how long in that position, okay? And then you make decisions accordingly. Yeah. Now suddenly you find yourself in vastly different scenarios on the field. You see different pictures and you're just not, you know, wired yet to be able to make the right ones. So you're going to make way more mistakes initially than when you start getting used to it, because it's almost as if when it's softer, you normally defend almost one channel wider. Where now you need to get used to actually
defending the ball.
Yeah,
you're not defending the space or the numbers out wide, which is so
and
different.
What they get wrong a lot, and especially the last defender and the wings, where they go too far in.
Yeah,
you go too far, and then you get
undercut by the ball or the space.
Mm.
Jesse, but going back to the World Cup, the England and Ireland, which one was tougher to face? I mean, Ireland have obviously got an identity, whereas England will probably just kicked a lot more.
Yeah, I think Ireland play a beautiful, beautiful game. You know, it was, I think, defensively, I think the toughest game was probably Scotland. Because
really? Okay.
I think they obviously, that I thought, I mean, a guy like Finn Russell and stuff, you kind of... You never know what he's going to do.
Try and play a lot of rugby
Play a lot of rugby, but I think Ireland was also right up there. I mean, they're an unbelievable team. I think England was more attritional. Obviously, it was raining there, so there wasn't a lot of ball movement. So I think, all three games were extremely tough. But I think if you're talking defensively wise and making decisions, I think Scotland and Ireland were right up there. I think we really had to be on your game.
I've got one question regarding our defence, because I understand why we do it. It suits us as South Africans. We force them to dip back in. They run into our big, heavy traffic. But we go so hard all the time. And I understand that there's no one can sit, be in two minds and going I thought there was a different... We played under it as well. And we tried a hybrid at some stage. And it is tricky, but... the evolution of it, surely sometimes, where I get nervous, me and John sometimes sit there and jump up and panic. But is when we're so many numbers down and we still back ourselves to go.
Whether the
evolution isn't if the team gets to a point where there's we lost this little war, we'll get you to the touch. And then from there we go back into our, go up and fetch them.
But Scala, then again, it's trusting the system 100%, because you think back, World Cup final, Peter Steph Du Toit finds himself on the wing, totally outnumbered, he makes a read, smashes the oak, and if there was a little bit of doubt in that moment,
get close to scoring. That's why we keep on going.
Evans read also while the
but I'm saying sometimes we watch final. It and there is space for us to just go. Maybe not this time.
But also, I think, you say, you always know. I mean, you are gonna fuck some things. I mean, you're gonna make bad reads. You're gonna make mistakes. I think understanding that, and also knowing that you've got 14 other guys that are busting their ass off. Yeah. So you do make a mistake. It's never Jesse made a mistake or whatever. Because I know Peter Steph's flying halfway across the field, chasing a paper packet to get to the other oak.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's quite lacquer as well, because you know some oak's gonna bail you out, and then you're gonna bail him out at a later stage. So I think that's a really cool system and environment to be in, because you always know oaks are working hard for you and you're working hard for each other.
You've got to be a big hitter though. You can't, once you go all in there, Sean, you've got to.
But how lack is that, knowing that you can be all in, you've got the coaches telling you, listen, make decisions. We want you to be bold.
Think about that Scotland game when Scotland had a bit of a run towards the end. I think it was a Kirtley that went across and hit Finn Russell. So I think it was Kirtley,
you're not going to win a World Cup being tame and sitting in your shell.
It suits us South Africans as our mentality and the way we approach rugby 100%.
Yeah.
None of us want to soak a tackle or soak 25 tackles.
Yeah.
You want to be almost like that Peter Steph final where you make 26, but 8 of them you smoke the living daylights out of them.
Yeah.
What fascinates me about this World Cup campaign is that we can be
that physical and be that dominant defensively and at that pace and that accurate.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's always for me been the standout.
You know, best discipline, too, I think best discipline
in the World Cup. Yeah, so that to me was, and that comes down to coaching. Mm. You know, so
100%.
That is exactly what World Rugby wants, is changing behavior.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the box showed that it's very much possible in being able to do that. What I'm extremely curious about and would like to see is, are these players that Rassie speaks about that's better rugby players than you guys that he's not selecting? Yeah, can he possibly mention those names to us?
Yeah, I'd rather not ask. Yeah.
Talking about Rassie with motivation, I mean, obviously, Chasing the Sun 2 is coming out. What's the weirdest thing you've seen, like, from a motivational point of view from the Springbok setup? What's the best, let me say?
It's weird. I mean, there's nothing that big that stands out. I just think Rassie is a guy that treats you like an equal, you know. And it's, I think in coaching it's very rare, because you get guys that either want to be, listen, they want to be in charge, and that what they, everything that they do is what you're going to do, and no one's got an input. So I think being just a relationship, having the relationship to be up to Mentalis and Rass, like, I think this is a good suggestion, and you'll be like, yeah, cool. Think that's great, and then all of a sudden we're doing that. Or so I think accessibility, being able to talk to someone like a friend, but also like know that there's a line where he's the coach as well. I think that's something that's really, really cool as a player. I mean, you guys will know, being able to approach a coach about anything rugby wise is something very, very, very rare. And I think that's probably something that, I mean, guys want to play for him, you know. I mean, I want to play for the guy. I want to win rugby games. You want to smash guys. You want to play for the guy. You want to win for him.
Yeah.
So that's in itself really, really cool.
The World Cup, I mean, you guys were what, an hour and a half outside of Paris, eh?
Mm.
Outside of the, we stayed at the golf estate.
Yeah, Chantilly.
It was the Chantilly also. Mm. Well, outside, did you guys have a couple of beers at all there at the, or was it all just rugby?
One or two. Golf. There was a golf estate.
Always a few beers involved. The guys had a good time. I think The really cool thing as well is we had our families there, our wives and partners, which also took a bit of an edge off, you know, very well behaved. And also, I think it just broke the tension a bit. I mean, it's nice after a long day of just rugby information and training, and I suppose all the pressures that come with being involved in a World Cup, you can go back to your room. And I mean, I had my girlfriend there, and you talk about things that are completely not related to rugby. It's kind of a nice way to just kind of decompress after a big day.
You guys have been together for quite a while now, eh? I mean,
are we talking about rugby? Are we talking about rugby?
Why are you tapping your foot? Why are you sipping on the water all of a sudden?
Let me stick on the water. Yeah.
it is crazy how quickly you return to rugby chat once that one comes up.
Jez, from a personal point of view, the disappointment of 2019 in that, you know, you've got the medal, you're part of the squad, you contributed so much to it, but would have loved to be on the pitch for that final. Not having that, now being there.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously you've been in the same situation. I think you go there, you contribute, and you have such a, or you play part in the whole lead up, and then you get injured, which happens. But I think also in 2019, standing up there with a medal, and I mean, celebrating afterwards was amazing, you know. But being on the field was just as amazing. But I mean, suppose, like, and you mentioned it earlier, the memories along the way, I think, was what I missed out in 2019, because I fell out in the first game. So, and the guys, I mean, now, I mean, we win the World Cup, but we speak about all the memories, like when we, on the Sunday, we went here to a restaurant and we had a few beers and in Cassis or whatever. So, like, all those memories along the way are the things that you miss out.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I felt like I missed out in 2019. And I was part of all those events now, and I think that's the thing that I'm most grateful for.
Talking about 2019, Japan now playing with Faf. What are at Cannon Eagles?
Yeah.
Which other South Africans are there?
We've got Kobus van Dijk.
Okay, the flanker.
You coach him. Espia Marais there.
Oh wow. Okay.
And then
we're still going. Yeah. Forgot
still
about
going. We're still going strong.
Also from Paul.
Paul
Boys.
And then we've got CJ van der Linde, who's our scrum coach, and Warren Adams, who's a conditioning coach. So we've got quite a nice.
Hey, Warren was. Yeah. Then Alistair was Cannon Eagles coach at one stage. Yeah. So Warren was obviously there.
So they stay in Wakabadai.
Yeah.
These
Skulks Old Hood.
Yeah. Is it?
My old place I used to stay, me and Farida Priya.
Yeah. They were in the penthouses. Us guys are down down a few
big dogs.
Levels.
Yeah, big dogs.
They got it out for the big dogs. I don't think it was for me. I just basically inherited George Smith's everything. His car, his flat, his apartment.
Yeah. And Fareed took George Gregan's apartment. Eh?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Tommy, and then also within the Japanese, culturally, how's it been there? Rugby-wise, on and off the field?
Yeah, it's been an amazing experience for me. I think, obviously, the first year you get there, and, I mean, as Skulk will tell you, it's a big change. I think the language, being on the field, having a whole lot of Japanese players around you, trying to communicate is a big thing. But I think once you start learning a bit of the language, it starts becoming a lot easier. And I also think there's so many, being in Japan, there's so many less distractions. I mean, you purely focus on the rugby. And there's a lot of time to kind of work on your game. And guys are so, I mean, the Japanese, they work so hard and they're so passionate about the company. I mean, they all obviously work for Canon or play for Canon. So they're all extremely passionate about Canon and the company. And I've enjoyed every minute of my 5 years there. It's been great.
And when I went across there, I was already in South Africa for a long, long time. And I think you never walk away from it in South Africa. You know, it always follows you home, whether you like it or not, and whether you try and switch off. You know, there's always a late afternoon phone call from a coach or from someone or a player. Or you go to, even worse, you go to the engine down the road, you're full up, you know, and the guy topping your car up with fuel is basically having a lowdown debrief of what's wrong with the Stormers, what happened on the weekend. Yeah. Where in Japan, it's completely different. No. Like, rugby is massive for you when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Doing it for a portion of the week and you're doing it on Saturdays, never follows you anywhere.
Yeah. You just disappear.
Yeah, disappear.
For 6 months. It's great.
What, with the Japanese guys?
Yeah, or just in general. I mean, when you come back here, there's, like Skulk says, there's so many things happening back home, which is awesome. I mean, we said, but you go to Japan and it's just like you leave the club and it's done for the day, like completely done.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also, I think in Tokyo, there's what, 60 million people. So, and I mean, not a lot of them know about rugby. So you just kind of just disappear, which is really cool.
The Japanese guys on the beers, though. I mean, we saw karaoke nights there.
It's like it's watching another sequel of Fast and Furious, boys. It goes so hard, so quick.
2 hours as hard as you can go.
I know, we understand Japanese culture, the discipline, the hard work and all of that. But there's got to be the other element.
Got to be a bit of fun.
There's got to be a bit of fun also.
And karaoke.
Yeah, we've so a few of our younger boys are in charge of the social club there, so they organise socials after games or whenever we've got like suppose the next weekend we're not playing a bye week, and they organise those 2 hours of madness. So it's good fun, and I suppose it brings everyone together, especially when there are a whole lot of foreigners and Japanese guys. It's nice bring everyone together, spend some time. We try to speak Japanese. A few of the other guys try to speak English. It's a good laugh. You know, it's good fun.
Do you guys keep in touch with rugby? What time difference? Japan is the games. It was 12 o'clock. So to watch rugby, it's
normally like 7.
Yeah.
So have you been watching any of the Six Nations or?
Yeah. When I was over there, I obviously watch a bit. I mean, obviously I try to get my sleep in. But I mean, a guy like SP, he'll stay up and watch every game.
But he's been in South Africa now a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So been here for 4 weeks. Well, but when I was there,
did you not do your
I did the research.
Yeah. So I mean, we do keep you obviously keep in touch with what's going over here. Watch all the highlights. I mean, obviously in the huddle as well, you've got access to all the games. Oh, yeah. So I watch a bit of rugby.
What's your take been on Six Nations so far?
Yeah, it's been an interesting one. I think it's been interesting watching France. I think they after the World Cup losing maybe DuPont and a few of their game drivers. I think it's don't want to talk too much about them, but it's been interesting watching guys post-World Cup.
And well, we can say France have been disappointing.
Yeah. I think part of it's obviously Ntamack, DuPont, but then also they short staff up front now. They've got quite a few locks out, and I think that's the biggest issue there.
Thibaut Fourmont.
Paul Willems has taken himself out. I think there's about four of them. That's
Geelong.
Geelong's out.
He's a big loss, yeah.
So the issue, the way they play, you know, whenever they do get that penalty and they get into your 22 and the whole DuPont law, you know, we saw play out with Finn Russell standing still, not taking the 5 steps forward or not making the pass. I think, you know, that's important platforms for them. And when the lineout's malfunctioning, the maul doesn't get hold of you and they don't play with that chaotic 20 in their 22 structure. So I think they're short staffed, but they do look a little bit more flat than normal. Yeah. Like physically, I don't think they're quite up to the standards they were just before the World Cup.
Well, the big one this weekend, it's Scotland, England, am I right?
England. Where's that game being played?
Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh.
So France have just been so consistent over the last number of years, and we don't see any of that. So there's definitely a, you know, lethargic in their approach, and I think we underestimate the mental scars they have from the disappointment of the World Cup.
So. Sean, do you reckon we underestimate? Remember England? I mean, even during the World Cup, they'd lost to Fiji before. They almost made it to the final. Or we're making the same mistake again, because England now, if they win this weekend, I think they play Ireland at home.
But hold on, they've first got to beat Scotland. Yeah. I don't think they've beaten them since 2020 or something. Yeah. I think it's 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And Scotland's their bogey side, and Scotland's playing some serious stuff.
England, they're playing for third place this weekend's game.
England scratched for, you think so?
In my view.
Who?
You think France is going to come good? England. France is playing Italy this weekend, eh?
Scotland, England playing.
So Ireland are obviously running with it.
Right. Ireland 1, France 2, then Scotland.
You can France 2. Even if France play, France, England will be in France.
France, what do you say?
No, it could be France, because they played, remember last year.
You basically France, just confirmed France that they finished
France,
in second.
France smashed them last year at Twickenham.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was close to 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before the World Cup, but France since the World Cup.
It's different.
Yeah.
You can't throw England away to go win.
England have got
you can't chuck England away.
Some amazing additions to their coaching staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they'll make a massive difference. They've also got such a good
squad.
Who's
that, England?
There. Yeah, and
about Felix, obviously.
Yeah.
He's the only guy, you can say his name.
Yeah, he's, I mean,
don't make us guess.
he's one of the best that I've personally worked
different
with.
Different role though.
Yeah, he'll
get it right. But like even against Wales, you know, the soft little tip ball on the inside. You know, there's a little bit of disconnect still. You know, players flying and not everyone being on the same page. There's still got to be a connection to when you fly.
That's the work on, I suppose.
I think the biggest work on for them is in and around the ruck. You know, too many dead bodies behind the ruck. I think we highlighted one in the first week where they had, you know, 5 on the blind, but 3 stuck right in behind the ruck. The ruck's got to be clean.
Mm.
You know, even the guy who does the leg chop has got a role to get up and get on the far side and become the young one, so you get that little bounce out. Yeah. And that half a meter or meter that you get from the ruck is ultimately that gives Jesse the freedom.
Wide, yeah. Jesse, you got a great grandfather that was a British and Irish Lion, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who's done his research now?
Not very much.
Who's ever, you don't know that. Tell us.
Who does not know that?
I asked the question.
I don't have a British passport, so if anyone can make a plan, please.
I think next time
what's the story behind that? Obviously, you and your brother, we know about your rugby pedigree, but the British and Irish line in your family?
Yeah, so it's my great-great-grandfather, from what I know. And obviously, I think he fought in the war in Turkey. Okay. And then,
I forgot to mention that.
I knew you knew that.
Yeah.
But he was over there, and then obviously went on, I think it was 1 or 2 Lions tours. So and then it was quite cool during the Lions series here during COVID. They actually brought over a Lions cap and actually presented it to my family, who was quite stoked with getting that. It's a nice gesture from them. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Mm. Mm.
Leaving Maritzburg, going to the Bulls. You walk into the change room, I think, Matfield. Hurkart, let me go through the names. Pierce Beast, Pollard. How was that?
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. I mean, going straight from school,
guys from Durban speak Afrikaans, because the guys I know can't.
Yeah, we can khoi.
Jesse's
Afrikaans
is good.
I can do. I mean,
he's one of
the best.
Give Butch
a few beers.
You, Brent Russell.
Butch a few beers.
Yeah. Brent Russell cannot even understand Afrikaans, boys.
Yeah.
No, Jesse's actually one of the better ones.
Yeah,
I think.
Not too bad. But I mean, we obviously, my brother and I knew we were going up there before we had finished school. So I suppose it made it quite easy when we got up there. We literally wrote our matric exams and flew up the next day to go join the Super Rugby wider training squad. So France Ludica invited us up. And I must say, I wasn't sure what it was going to be like, but guys like Matty and Victor and all the guys really were so accepting and like really made us feel welcome. I mean, we were straight out of school.
You were fullback there, no? You played?
Yeah, I played fullback there. And the guys really helped us. I mean, a guy like Zane Kirshner was awesome to me. I became really close with a guy like Hochi. He used to pick me up most evenings we used to stay in the Blue Bulls. It's called the Bros. It was like a house there on Loftus, on the grounds there. So he had picked me up in the evenings. And
what car was he driving? Because we're not
I think every month there was a new one.
But I mean, a guy like him took me under his wing. He used to pick me up most evenings. We'd go gym together after training, and then he'd take me out for dinner. And at the time, I mean, he'd
grooming, grooming session.
After dinner, where did you guys go to?
Back home and sleep.
By Santon, back home.
So he, I mean, like guys like that really made a big difference in, I suppose, my career. Like guys that were established, that had already kind of played a lot of games and playing for the Springboks. I mean, me, a youngster coming out of school, like really took time to. Take me out and like sorted out my dinners at the time and used to really look after me. So it was cool. I mean, I went to really...
That was
2013, yeah. And I mean, we got in there and it was quite nice at the time. There were so many guys that were established at international level that you literally came in and Matthew just used to say, just do this, this is your job. And then I wouldn't have to think about anything else. Where I suppose as you get older, you kind of become...
Well, that was Victor's...
That's just pretty much he came back.
He was like a coach, so he used to say to me, listen, this is what you need to do, or give me a role, and I mean, that's all I need to do. I need to worry about anything else, which is quite nice. I mean, I think now when you come into as an older player, you've got the responsibility of, like, when I came in, how you helped me, how a guy like Joffrey.
How did he help you? How did yours truly help you? No, it's one of the questions. You're talking about 2015 World Cup, eh?
Yeah.
So how did, you know...
Hey, we could have won that World Cup. I mean, that semi-final was so close. So,
How close was that?
It was so close. It would have...
Well, I think, you know, what he's trying to say, and I think it's important because the roles...
You did the talking back then. Let him talk now.
The roles change so quickly.
Yeah.
And when you are coming through this system and there's someone that just puts you under his wing and says, do this, you know, let me help you with this, whatever, shows you the ropes a little bit, it helps so much. It's like life. If there's someone that believes in you, you know, your chance of making it is so much better. And then eventually, you know, you become that guy, and there's a responsibility to now give back as well. And I mean, that's what he's now doing. That's what he's doing with Kane and Moody and with, you know, some of the other youngsters. And I think that's the beauty of it, because what you give back eventually is detrimental to your to you being there, but it's success in itself.
Yeah. You know? I also think at a young age, I mean, you constantly, even now, you're constantly questioning yourself. I mean, you know, the voices in your head when you, especially starting off, and I think like back then, you'd come up to me and say, listen, that was great, or have you thought about doing this? I mean, it means so much to a younger player at the time, and it gives you so much confidence in the end, to go out there and have a good game, you know?
2015 World Cup. Contrast. I mean, obviously, the Battle of Brighton or whatever it was.
Can't remember that.
the feeling in the change room after that Japan game.
No, you tell me. Why do you? You guys
I'll tell
you what happened that weekend. It's like the Springboks. I was brying at my house. I heard a whole lot of people. Now the Springboks are winning by 50 points. And I thought, you know, let me just go check. You know, with about 20, 30 to go, I thought, hold on, something weird's happening here. So, I told someone else, go start brying. I thought, geez, is this possibly going to happen? It happened.
I do remember.
But just obviously, I mean, that feeling in the change room, we came back beautifully, though. A lot of people forget that it was two points in the semis.
I do remember that week, Skulk and Faree saying the whole time, hammering on guys, you can't underestimate these guys. They're flipping good rugby players. I remember Faree talking to me about a guy, Matsushima, telling me how good this guy was. And not that we underestimated them. I just think they were that good. He's a wing. Wing
out of Jenny. Tanaka was a scrum off.
Yeah, Fumi, who I played with in Japan.
But also, if you go and analyze that game, they played bloody well.
They did.
They played bloody well. Our discipline was terrible on the day. Obviously, a couple of individual errors, and you lose a game.
That's
sport, unfortunately.
With a World Cup, your build-up so critical.
Yep.
And our build-up that year was horrible. You know,
just elaborate
everything
on that,
from the matches we played before. We had a lot of, say, senior players that was injured that went to the World Cup. And I think, we weren't a settled unit, nor the coaching staff, nor us as players, when we got to the World Cup. You know, unlike the years there, we were successful, example for us, and then back for these boys.
But you think to go to a World Cup, you need, and like Scott said, you need your prep needs to be spot on.
Yeah.
Okay. And you need to know who your captain is. You need to know who your coach is. Coach is simple. Captain is, you know, that can vary. from our point of view, there was I was injured, but Heineken said in November the previous year, I'll be captain, whatever. Now I'm injured. It's touch and go. Will he make it? But you're kind of hedging your bets on that. Skalk was captain for a game. Victor was captain for a game. Victor, you know, must he go? Mustn't he go? He's injured. So it was just, I think it was a leadership issue.
Yeah.
And then it was almost, I almost want to say when I got injured after the second game against Samoa, and I was like, okay, that's not an issue anymore. Okay, let's settle on this and let's go forward.
Yeah.
So it was,
Faree ended up, Faree was captain.
Faree was
captain. Victor also got captain and then
Victor got injured.
But in saying all of that, I mean, we were so close to still winning that.
But that's the thing.
You know, and if we had won that, I mean, we would have been saying it was genius.
Yeah.
So that, and that's the margins in sport.
Yeah.
I mean, when you don't win something,
2019, the first game against the All Blacks.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I think that the margins are so small, and I mean, when you do win, that everything was perfect and the planning was great. But
if you go into even more depth, so you lose the semi-final against New Zealand by 2 points. New Zealand had Jerome Kano was yellow carded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes, we play 15 versus 14. Yeah. Get a line-out on our own 22. We've got the best line-out guy in the world, Victor Matt. We lose the line-out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ball gets stepped down. Aaron Smith flings the ball to Dan Carter. Yeah. Dan Carter, world player of the year. I mean, he never drop kicks.
Yeah.
Drop kick over 3 points.
We get a penalty and
you lose by two.
Yeah. And then also we got called back for a neck roll.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small margins.
Right in the end.
What does Sonny Bill say to you? There's that classic picture, I think, of him talking to you at the final whistle.
Yeah. He just basically helped me up and just said to him, listen, like, yeah, well done, like, bad luck.
When are you coming
all going to be okay. No, shit, I wouldn't box with him. Yeah. I'd send Andre essays in. Yeah. No, I wouldn't go there.
Just back to 2015, the Samoa game, the second game. Yeah. You got the cut.
Yeah, that burst wound, yeah.
So I break my jaw.
You're still making jokes after. Yeah.
So I'm walking off. I'm walking off and I basically know my international career is over.
Yeah.
I've broken my jaw, okay? There's like 15 minutes left in the game. Jesse comes.
You came off the bench.
Yeah, I came off the bench. I still that bloody, screaming when he ran. It was running with a ball.
Exactly.
What if I got myself into? Yeah,
bro. That was full Japanese leg chop.
I broke my jaw both sides. Yeah. So I can literally run. I can feel my, Jesse gets a cut.
Yes.
Charles Vessels, team manager. Hey, John, you back on?
I got back. Broken jaw.
Broken jaw. I know my career's over, so I extend my career by another 9 minutes.
Yeah. Avoid contact.
Yeah, so, yeah.
No, it was crazy.
Chulangi was screaming when he had, was that the eighth man?
Which yeah, I still remember.
The wing.
The dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You weighed about 150, and I just remember it was a left-hand scrum, and I remember lining up then. I was like, this guy's going to get the ball. And yeah, he's just like, so I was like grunting or whatever when he had the ball. I was like, this is insane.
Next level.
Yeah.
We played it at Villa Park.
Yes.
That one. Yeah, in Birmingham.
Two World Cups in place now for you. People are talking about a third now, still 4 years away. But if you look at key areas, if you think of where the Springboks...
3 years away.
Yeah, 3 years away. Sorry, John.
Don't let the facts come in the place.
You want another broken jaw? Okay. Okay. Three years away. What areas we need to develop? What do you think?
Shimmy, to be honest, I haven't even thought about that yet. I've just obviously been invited to an alignment camp, so stoked about that. I think there's so much water under the bridge until, I mean, it's a whole nother cycle, and I think there's a lot of guys coming in. So it's about being obviously keeping your standard up there and playing well and hopefully be in contention for selection every year leading up until that. I think getting the right guys again in the team. I think there's a lot of guys that are still a good age that can make it to the next World Cup, and then I think also having guys like a Dwayne still involved and feeding off that, I suppose, IP that he's got, and I think the coaching staff that has been announced is something that's really exciting.
Have you worked with Tony Brown before? No,
I haven't, but I've heard great things. A lot of my Japanese teammates have worked with him, and they say he's unreal. Yeah, I know you guys have worked with him, but. So it's exciting in that sense of like the, I suppose, hopefulness of working with a guy like that. So yeah, hopefully we'll meet them in a few weeks and hear what they think about the game.
How were your celebrations after the World Cup final? We ask every winner there. We saw a lot of it on TV, just from your experience.
See, well, I don't remember much of it. I mean, it was a bit of a blur. I think obviously the initial celebrations after the game were unreal. I think we made some good memories there and also a lot of memory loss. But I mean,
Who was your wingman?
Willy LaRue, Damien, okay. Dallander, Andre. I think everyone was kind of, I think we celebrated in the reception of the hotel for many hours. I don't think they were too happy. But it was good fun, and I think when we got back here, it kind of just kicked on as well, and everyone kind of celebrated with us over here. So it was good fun.
Yeah, and then what sort of a welcome do you get when you get back to Japan after winning the World Cup? Is the club, proud of you guys? Especially, I mean, it's yourself and Faf that were part of the mix there.
Yeah, that's one thing that's also amazing about Japan. I think the company is so passionate about players representing their country, and it's like, when we have to come back here and we've obviously been selected for the box, they're so happy and so supporting of us joining up with the box. And when we got back there, they really made us feel welcome and really celebrated, I suppose, together with us for winning the World Cup. It's been really cool. I think, I mean, I haven't played in Europe and stuff, and I don't know how it is there, but I must say with my experience in Japan, it's been really cool of how they're so supportive of you going on and playing international rugby.
Bulls Japan box.
Yeah.
Next move, happy in Japan.
I'm really happy in Japan at the moment. Not too sure.
Being a foreigner in that league, you're telling us some interesting stories before the show.
Yeah, I think being a foreigner over there, I think the game has become so competitive over there at the moment. There's so many, I mean, you guys got guys, a lot of All Blacks coming over there now.
Oh,
so
that's true, Jesus.
The league's become so competitive from when I started. I mean, the first time I played there was in 2015. I did a short stint. And to where it is now, I mean, it's worlds apart. You've got, I mean, every weekend, especially as a centre or outside back, you're playing against international world-class play, So it keeps you on your toes, and I mean, it's really competitive, and it's enjoyable at the same time because you are going up against the best every weekend.
Yeah.
So that's been quite lekker.
Cool, guys. Six Nations predictions.
Okay.
We touched on it.
We got 3 for 3, only just, I don't know how we got it last time.
Okay, right. Scotland versus England. Biggest game of the weekend. Scotland have won 5 of the last 6 Calcutta Cups.
Okay.
Can they do it again?
Were they playing?
At Edinburgh.
At Edinburgh.
Murrayfield. I'm going Scotland.
England.
I'm going England.
Take your time.
I'm taking my time, yeah. I'll go with John. Go Scotland on this one.
Scotland, okay. Ireland host Wales.
Ireland.
Yeah, we go at the...
Is anyone going to stop Ireland?
No.
Eh?
No, doesn't look at...
Very good team.
Ireland play England in England, I think, the last game.
Ireland.
At Twickenham.
Yeah.
For the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Let's put
then
it this
come
way.
To South Africa.
For the comp.
Yeah.
It'd be great if England gets one. But look, I just don't know.
I think France, England are also so close to just getting that, getting it right. They've got such good players all around the field.
I base my prediction on what I've seen thus far.
Yeah.
And I can't see England beating Ireland from what we've seen thus far.
Jeez, they need to get out the blocks a little bit better, eh?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Italy? France?
I'm waiting for France.
I'm waiting for France.
Yeah, it's also in France, eh? So, yep.
So, okay, let's get this right. So, who said England?
What, first?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
First game, yeah. England,
the two of you, England. Said Scotland.
Okay, we'll come back to this one.
I'll put a 5 on it.
We all agree with Ireland.
But what have we got on this bet? I mean, there needs to be something on this bet.
Well, it doesn't matter if Shimmy loses, he never pays. So, I mean, it's basically, okay.
We had a weekend in Durban, the Durban Sharks Stormers. Guess who had COVID and couldn't come out for a couple of drinks after the game?
Yeah, it blows hot and cold.
Yeah, one hit wonder.
He couldn't breathe because the jersey was so tight. It wasn't COVID.
Every excuse on the way there.
He was battling to get it off. He had it cut off, apparently.
I'm that. I'm tired. I'm going straight to bed. Not even a beer in the change room afterwards.
I had a lovely day with my family on Sunday. And
so did I.
No, you... Shimmy. It did not. You disappointed your whole family.
You are built. You are built differently. Yeah. Yeah. You are.
No, but what, Scala, we've seen this performance before.
Yeah, I know. Okay. He's still trying to catch up on his sleep from World Cup. World Cup, we kept him occupied, Shim.
Guys, cool. My birthday on Saturday.
What's the plan?
No. I'm seeing John on Friday night. We're going to watch Xavier Rudd at Kirstenbosch. Just a little loosener before he Saturday.
Down the road, come for PB as a mouse.
Guys, I'm out of any bloke sweating a lot here. Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Skylar, thank you very much. Skylar, welcome back. Dimension Data, how did it go? Golf?
So nice. I missed the cut, but played beautifully. Thank you.
Okay, cool. JDV, how's your knee from interviewed Gary Player?
I'm getting very old. Mr. Player is more than double my age and he's in far better shape.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And better chatter.
Yes.
Better chat.
No, he's good. He's good. Mentally good and physically very good. He's a great.
Someone messaged me that he saw him in the bootleggers in Sea Point this morning, early doors.
He probably went for a jog.
Yeah.
Probably went for a quiet 20K.
100%.
Cool. Jesse, thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Shamir.
Good to have you here. Yeah. Did you watch the box office at the World Cup by any chance?
No, I wasn't really.
This is a very important question. We disappointed. No,
sorry, brother.
Yeah?
Sorry to disappoint. I wasn't really watching
much. We're just disappointed.
No, that's all right. I can live with that.
There for 3 months, stuck in the golf estate,
playing golf.
Is it?
Yeah, we played a lot of golf.
Yeah,
and just enjoying each other's company.
We had your back all the way. So
thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, thanks
so much
for coming on. Good luck with the alignment camp coming up.
Yeah, thanks.
I suppose the beginning of Springbok season. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next week after another exciting weekend of Six Nations rugby. The box office is now closed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.